I once bought a house where the roof on this house was so bad that the nails had worked the hole that they had made in the shingle till it was so big the hole in the shingle would slide right up and off the nail. It was bigger than the head of the nail. We used to work on houses. We'd buy them messed up and then fix them up, see? And so I bought this house. So I'll bet you can guess what kind of a tradesman was one of the people we called to help us fix up this house. We called a roofer. We called someone to come and work on the roof. Imagine with me for just a moment if the roofer had come to my house, knocked on my door, and then said, "Hi, I'm Joe the roofer. What's for lunch?" What's for lunch? What do you mean, what's for lunch? Or if he had knocked on the door and I'd answered, and there he was standing in his swimsuit with his rubber ducky around him, ready to go for a swim in my pool. I'm sure that any one of us would have been ready to remind him why we had called him. We did not call him for lunch. We didn't call him to take a dip in the pool. We called him to do a service for us, didn't we? We called him for service. Jesus came to this world to serve. Take a look with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, Jesus has gone to the synagogue in Nazareth, probably the synagogue he had been to himself many times growing up. And as a visiting rabbi, they were eager probably to hear what he might have to say to them. And so the scroll of Isaiah was delivered to him. And it says in verse 17, he found the place where it was written. And then in verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Jesus was sent with a purpose. He was not called here to this world to have lunch and a dip in the pool. He had a purpose. He had a reason to be here. And I want to think about Jesus' service today. I want to take a look at the Savior and see what made him tick. What it was that he did. And by extension, then, we can think about ourselves. But let's take a look at Jesus, because he got this call. And then in Matthew chapter 9, turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35. He said he had been called for a purpose. He said that the Spirit had anointed him to preach, that he had been sent to heal. That's what Luke told us. What did he actually do? If he had been sent to do those things, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages," where there were about 200 of them. He did this probably in the summer of AD 29. It's doubtful that he got to all of them that fast, but this was kind of a, you know, "Yeah, I saw every store in Lakeland, and I couldn't find it." You've done that, right? Probably you didn't actually go to every store there was in Lakeland, But you went to a lot of them, right? You went around town looking for something. That's kind of the expression that's happening here. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages. He toured the countryside there, teaching. What did he do? Teaching in their synagogues. What else did he do? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing. Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And so that's kind of what Jesus did. Just what he had been called to do, the service he had been called for, that's what he did. He went into their synagogues. The synagogues were the place to gather, the place to worship, the place for sharing together in the experience of God. Kind of, well, kind of like what we're doing here. An opportunity for us to get together and experience God corporately. Corporately. That's not something you can do at home by yourself. To come together in a corporate nature, to be able to experience God with other people. That's where the synagogue was. And Jesus had a habit of doing that every Sabbath. And that's what I invited us to do here today, to come together, to worship together, to think together about God. And so that's what they did. It's our opportunity to connect with God and with others, learning about God. And so Jesus went there to teach. I want you to imagine for a minute, while I was teaching school, imagine that I had taught that 2 + 2 was not 4. That'd be kind of crazy, wouldn't it? It'd have been crazy to teach things that were not right. Can you imagine how long a teacher would be in his classroom if he taught things that weren't true? So clearly, Jesus was here coming to the church on Sabbath. He's teaching the truth. He's there working out of God's word, teaching the truth, explaining scriptures. They were to connect with God, connect with others, and connect with God's word. That's why we're here. That's what Jesus was there for them to do, to help them to connect, to help them make that happen, to teach them the truth. And as they heard this truth, can you imagine the thrill that went through their hearts as they learned about the gospel, as they learned about God and His love for them? What an awesome opportunity for them. And that's why we have this opportunity week by week to come here, that we can do the same kinds of things. As we teach these things, we want to learn the best things. That's why in Philippians it says, if there's anything true, anything honest, anything just, anything pure, think on these things, right? And so that's what we need to be doing as well, thinking on the just and the true and the pure. And that's what we can do all week long as well. Jesus was lifting them up, higher and higher, teaching them in the synagogues. But he did more than that. He also healed them, didn't he? It said he healed them of every disease. How many of you love going to your doctor, say, "Doc, I got this problem. You know, my nose is all stopped up, you know? I can't seem to breathe. Things aren't working right." And he says, "Oh, let me send you." Oh, great. Now I got to wait another 3 weeks to go to the next doctor and see the specialist, right? And so there's always this running around. When you came to Jesus, there was no, "Oh, let me refer you to..." When you went to Jesus, He is the specialist. Whatever it is, Jesus is the specialist. As we come to Jesus, He's ready to heal us of every disease. The disease we suffer from most is the disease of sin. And that was where He most wanted to heal us. It didn't matter with Jesus whether you were lame or blind or had leprosy. When you came to Jesus, you found healing. And it was the healing that went deeper than just the physical healing. Look with me in Luke again. Hold your finger here in Matthew. Look with me in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and look at verse 12 with me. Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 12. Luke 5, beginning with verse 12. And it happened when He was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Him. Anybody ever seen anybody with leprosy? Anybody seen anybody with leprosy? Not a pretty picture, is it? Not pretty at all. One of the things I noticed was that one of the first things that goes bad on people with leprosy is the little tiny muscles right under here. You know, you have little tiny muscles at the bottom of your eyes. I had no clue. But you have little tiny muscles down there that hold your eyelid up in place. And those muscles get attacked by the leprosy. And they begin to droop like this. And they sag so that your eye is exposed to the air. And bad things happen when your eyes don't get enough wetness, you know. Then what can get in there is you can have infections get in there. And very often they would go blind before they would, you know, have more serious things happen. And so leprosy was very ugly. And so at the time, of course, anyone who had leprosy, when someone came near, they had to say, unclean, unclean, in order to try and keep people away, keep them away so they wouldn't be contacted with this leprosy. You didn't want contact with someone. You never wanted to be near them. You would shy away. You would get away. Anybody that had leprosy. Wow. Can you imagine? Not only did the leper have this terrible physical ailment, but they were also shunned by society too. Can you imagine how long it had been, perhaps, since some of these lepers maybe had something as simple as we take for granted day by day with a handshake? And so we have verse 12 going on. There was this leper in Luke chapter 5, verse 12. This leper came to Jesus. He saw Jesus. He fell on His face and implored Him, saying, Lord, if You are willing. If You are willing, why would Jesus be unwilling? You know why they believed that lepers had leprosy, right? To them, it was the curse of God. They were lepers because God was unhappy with them, was the popular thought. And so maybe this great teacher sent from God, because I'm already cursed by God, would be very unwilling, because obviously if God is cursing me, this man being sent by God is not going to want to be with me. And so not only did they suffer this terrible physical ailment, but also the social isolation and also the isolation from God. Whew. And so He says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now I want to watch what Jesus does here as Jesus serves this man. Then He put out, Jesus put out His hand. Jesus reached out to this man Jesus went out to him. Are you seeing community service here? Jesus went out to him. He put out his hand. He didn't wait for the man to come to him. Jesus put out his hand. He was willing to go out there to heal his disease. And then he was also willing to break the social isolation and touch him. He was willing to touch the leper. Whew. Wow. So he put out his hand and touched him. That's the first thing Jesus did, saying, I am willing. You see, Jesus broke that social isolation. Jesus broke that isolation from God. You see, God is willing. God is loving. God wants to heal our diseases. God wants to bless us. God wants to serve. I am willing, Jesus said, be cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy left him. Wow, praise the Lord. You see, as we reach out to others, we are not tainted, but as God's work flows through us, we bless them and raise others up. We are helping others as we reach out. This is not a thing where the leprosy jumps onto us, but praise God, His cleansing comes down and goes out to others. That's what our work is. That's what Jesus' work was. Jesus was a man who was willing to go out of his way to reach out to bless others. Jesus is still willing to do that today. Praise the Lord, because sometimes when I mess up, I feel like a leper. Because after all, you know, pastors should know better, right? Yeah? If I've done the wrong thing, clearly I knew better, right? And if you do something that you know is wrong and you willfully go into it, well, you know, what's God going to do for you then? You're pretty far gone, ain't you, buddy? And those kind of thoughts want to sneak into your head, don't they? You know? You've heard them before. The devil isn't going to let you get by with it. I know that. And he bugs us with these things. You knew better. You went against God. Who makes you think God's going to care for you now? Too far gone now. You've heard those whispers in your head, haven't you? Tell him to forget about it. Because there's a God in heaven who is willing. All we have to do is see Jesus and go to him and ask. And be willing to go away from those things that have caused us to fall. And Jesus will put out his hand and say, I am willing. Be cleansed. Be cleansed. And not just cleansing for those things that we've done, but Jesus wants to help us keep clean too. You see, that's part of the good news that he also preached back to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, back there again. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You see, the gospel of the kingdom when Jesus preached was, there is good news. There is good news. What's the good news, Jesus? The good news is the Messiah has come. He was telling those who were waiting for the Messiah the good news. The Messiah has come. That's what he was saying. I am here. This is the good news. The kingdom is being established right before your eyes. And the Jews went, great, all right, let's go for it. When do we march on Rome? No. John chapter 18, verse 36, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus was ushering in the kingdom of grace. The kingdom of grace that's in your heart. The kingdom of grace that is in my heart. The kingdom of grace that enables us when we're tempted to have the Holy Spirit's power in us to say, no, you see, the good news is not only are we free from the effects of sin in the past, but we have strength to live Christ's life going forward. Wow, that's good news. Because you see, righteousness is not my righteousness in the past, is it? To cover my sins? Is that my righteousness that covers my sins? No, Christ died on the cross for that, right? But it's also not my righteousness going forth either, or it would be of works, wouldn't it? But it's not of works, lest any man should boast. And so the gospel, the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, is the preaching of the gospel of grace. Grace that Jesus has taken away our sin in the past and enabled us to overcome sin in the future by His grace. It's all about Jesus. The gospel of the kingdom is all about Jesus. He is willing. And so, this was Jesus' call, His call to service, a call to reach out to others, a call that encompassed the physical to heal them, and then the mental, to teach in their synagogues, and also the spiritual. Jesus' calling was to serve in all aspects that touch our lives, to take care of us, to serve us. And we, in turn, fall in love with Jesus, and what do? We serve in return, don't we? Community service, you see. And our work is the same, to reach out physically, mentally, spiritually to our community, to be like Jesus. That's what we're here for. Because of what He's done for us. Because we love in return. Jesus was called to serve. He did community service in all three aspects. Clearly, Jesus cared about those people that He ministered to. But let me ask you this. Is Jesus not alive today? Of course He is, yes? Absolutely. And if He cared about people enough to come and suffer the death on the cross for them, how about you and I? Did He suffer the death on the cross for you and I as well? Absolutely. Do you think then that He doesn't care about you anymore? Hey, I took care of it back then. That's it. All done. Is that Jesus? No way, right? No way. Jesus loves you just as much today, and He's willing to do as much for you today as He was for those who walked the dusty streets back then. Jesus wants to heal us from the leprosy of sin as much today as He did back then. Yes? How does that happen? You see, that leper came to Jesus, didn't he? He came to Jesus seeking healing. Brothers and sisters, if we are going to be healed of the leprosy of sin, we too have to come to Jesus. We have to come to Jesus. Now, I don't know if you've had an opportunity to do that before. Maybe you've never had an opportunity to turn your life to the Lord, to give to Him the leprosy of sin in exchange for physical, mental, and spiritual healing. But I'd like to give you that opportunity today. I'd like for you to consider, if you have never done so, to give your life to Jesus, to come to Him just now. And so I'd like to have the elders come here, if they would please, our elders that are present today, to come here to pray with folks. If you've never had that opportunity, now is your opportunity, and I'd like to invite you to come and pray with one of our elders. To come and present yourself to Jesus and say, I need healing today. To have that opportunity that Jesus was willing to serve back then, He's willing to serve you today. To make that change in your life today. And so, I would give you that opportunity just now. God is so loving. It is unbelievable. Did this leper deserve healing? Did he pay lots of money to get healing? Did he do some spectacular thing to be healed? No. He was healed because and only because Jesus was willing. That's beautiful, isn't it? And He's just as willing to heal today. And He's giving you that opportunity right now to avail yourself of that kind of healing. And so now is the time to come and let Jesus know, I need that healing myself. Amen. I need Jesus in my life. Where'd you go? It is not an easy thing. But it's what God would have us to do. To come to Him, to seek His face, to gain that healing that Jesus has for us. How can we look a Savior in the eye who is so loving and refuse that? Wow. What a great God. He reaches out and He says, I'm willing. Be cleansed. Let's bow our heads. Our Father and our God, what a great Savior we have. It is amazing to see what Jesus was willing to do to serve us. How can we do less in service to others? How can we reject such a gracious offer? And so, Lord, we turn our hearts to You today. We thank You for being willing to cleanse us today, to serve us, to come and heal us physically, mentally, and spiritually today. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.